Go with me, if you would, back to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Thanks and praise are going to be the theme of the whole day today. I got excited, I know I did, at the thought of everybody coming back together. And a couple of scriptures popped into my mind, and I just couldn't get them out. Solomon said, he penned this. He said, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. He said, there's a time to be born and a time to die. He said, there's a time to break down and a time to build up. He said, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. He said, there's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. But as we just saw just a minute ago in our Bible study, in all of those times, no matter what time it is always the time to give thanks to our Lord. Always. And to give praise and to give honor and to give glory to our Lord. That's what time it is right now. That's what time it is right now. And I can't think of a better scripture for us to do that with than Psalm 103. This is a glorious, glorious scripture. We're going to let this psalm speak for our hearts to God. For every soul here who has been given a desire by God the Father. If we have a desire, it was given to us by God the Father. And for every soul who has that desire to cry out to Him, for every soul who was ordained to cry out to Him, this will be our cry to our God today. His own word will be our cry to Him. Now let's see if our hearts can identify with this. Verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. That word bless means kneel before. It means adore. That's what it means. David said to his own soul, and as we go through this, David is speaking to his own soul. And he said to his own self, he said, kneel before and adore the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, kneel before and adore His holy name. Kneel before Him. Adore Him. David is speaking to his inner man. That's what true worship is. True kneeling before, true adoration is an inner thing. It comes from the soul. There is a difference, and we all know what it is. See if you can enter into this, okay? There is a difference that we have all experienced, every one of us, in just an outer show of worship in the flesh. You know, we talk about those who don't worship the true and living God. That's just an outer show of worship in the flesh. Well, we have experienced it too. Just an outer show of worship in the flesh, and the difference in an inner worship in the soul. We know when we're just going through the motions. And I beg God, Lord, please don't let me stand in this pulpit and go through the motions. And I beg God, please don't let any of us sit in the pew and go through the motions. We understand this, don't we? True worship, true kneeling before, true adoration, that moment whenever everything goes away but Him. Everything. The Spirit of God gives us a tunnel vision on Him. That's an inner worship in the soul. The depths of the soul. In verse 1, David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." My heart is within me. My mind is within me. My desire, my love, my thanks, my praise. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." His holy name. Turn back a page with me to Psalm 99. Psalm 99, verse 1, it says, "The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the people. Let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy." It's holy. When God reveals Himself to a sinner, the first thing that sinner sees is God's holiness. God's holiness. And the second thing that he sees, and it all comes at the same moment in time, but he sees God's holiness against sin, His judgment against sin, and then he sees his own sin. And it strikes fear in him. And that's such a glorious thing when God does that, when He strikes fear in a sinner over His holiness. And that sinner sees that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing to see that I'm in His hands, He's not in mine. That's what a person sees. And it's the light bulb goes off. The light comes on. The light shines. And they realize, oh, this is so different from what I thought. But it's a fearful thing. It strikes fear. And then God, in grace and in mercy, He reveals to that soul that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of comfort. It's the beginning of peace. Every soul who fears Him and reverences Him. Because once a sinner sees the holiness of God poured out on Christ, once a sinner sees God's holy judgment against his own sin satisfied in the punishment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not? You remember the moment the Lord started opening your eyes to that? I grew up under this message, but I hadn't got a hold of it until the Lord revealed it to me. And I used to wonder, well, how can He just sweep my sin under the rug? That's what I thought. And then God revealed to me, He didn't. No, He didn't. All of the judgment against my sin was satisfied in the punishment of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was satisfied because the Lord Jesus Christ stood in my place as me. When Gabe Stonecker was called forth, he said, "Here I am." And then wrath fell. Once a sinner sees the holiness of God and sees that it is the holiness of God and the judgment of God that has removed all the reason to fear, because it has removed all the sin in the person of Christ. Once a sinner sees that, he no longer fears the holiness of God. He thanks God for His holiness. He still reverences God and fears Him in that way, but he loves God's holiness. He worships God's holiness, and this is what he cries. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. Right here in Psalm 99, verse 5 says, exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. And verse 9 says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. He's holy. Back in our text in Psalm 103, verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. That means don't forget all that the Lord has done for you. Don't forget all that the Lord has done for you. What has the Lord done for us? What has the Lord done for all of the chosen people that God the Father gave to Him? Well, verse 3 says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Do we really need any other benefits than that? He said, don't forget all His benefits. Do we really need any other benefit than that? This is what David said, talking to himself. He said, soul, He has forgiven all your sin. He's forgiven all your sin. Soul, he said, get a hold of that. Enter into that. Dwell on that. Soul, you know what you are and you know what you've done. You know what you've done in this flesh. But he said, soul, get a hold of this. He has forgiven everything that you are and everything that you've done and everything that you will do. That'll make a soul say, bless the Lord, O my soul. How did the Lord Jesus Christ forgive all of our iniquities? Revelation 1 verse 5 says, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. That's how He did it. He loved us and He washed us from our sins in His own blood. In that blood He shed, it's gone. That's so hard for us to enter into because we haven't lived it all out yet. But every sin from every moment of our life is gone. It's gone. Even though we commit it and we cry, I'm sorry, it's gone. It's paid for. It's gone. Bless the Lord. Verse 3 says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? If He heals our physical sickness, He is the healer. He is the great physician. But in this flesh, we're going to be prone to sickness and prone to sickness and prone to sickness until the day that He heals all our diseases. That great day. There's coming a day. In glory with Him, there's going to be no more sickness. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears, no more germs, no more viruses, no more diseases. The disease of sin is what has brought all these other diseases on us, all these other things. But because of what Christ accomplished for us eternally on that cross, when He healed us eternally from the root of the disease, He healed us eternally from all the effects and all the evidences. They're going to be gone. He delivered us from all our diseases. Verse 3 says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." Verse 4 says, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." Oh, how thankful we are to know that He has eternally delivered us from disease. Sickness, pain, sorrow, all that. We're so grateful for that. But how much more thankful are we to know that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has delivered us from a place called hell. Eternal destruction. Eternal damnation. He received everything that was supposed to come to us. Christ did. He delivered us from everything that was supposed to come to us by enduring it Himself. And this is what Psalm 16 says. He cried to His Father from the grave. He said, "I know that You will not leave my soul in hell." He said that. My soul in hell. I cannot expound on that. Somebody will say, "Expound on that." I cannot, and I don't want to. I wouldn't add one word to that. I wouldn't take one word from it. It's just too holy. Let's just suffice it to say that by the sacrifice of Himself, He redeemed our lives from eternal destruction. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Verse 4 goes on to say, "Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." That word "crowneth" means to surround. It means to encircle. David said, "So the Lord has surrounded you with His loving kindness and His tender mercy." What is the loving kindness and the tender mercy of God? It's not a what, it's a who. It's the person of Christ Himself. He is God's loving kindness and God's tender mercy. All of it is in Him. This is a favorite two verses of Scripture for me. Look with me at Psalm 125. Psalm 125, verse 1 says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forever." David said, "Soul, He has surrounded you from henceforth, even forever." Back in Psalm 103, verse 5 says, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good." That word "things" is in italics. It was added. He satisfied your mouth with good, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. David said, "Soul, God has strengthened you and encouraged you by giving you faith in Him." And he said, "Soul, you know it too. Out of your mouth comes good." He has satisfied your mouth with good. Out of the heart, the mouth will speak. And for a child of God, it's good. When all of you started to get sick, I know it went in stages, but when everybody first started getting sick, I called or texted those who I knew were sick at that moment in time. And me being in the flesh, and as I stand up here telling everybody, "Don't be scared, don't be worried," you know, I was scared and worried, and I didn't know if I wanted to hear how you were doing. I wanted to hear how you were doing, but I wanted it to be good. But I called or texted, and every person I called or every person I texted, you have no idea how much you encouraged me. You have no idea. It went something like this. I said, "How are you doing?" You said, "Well, I've got a fever, or I feel like I have the flu, or I'm weak, or I'm this, or I'm that. But God is sovereign." And He's still seated on His throne. And this is all in His hands. One brother told me this is his virus and he'll do with it whatever he wants to do with it. And he's good. And I'm fine. And everyone said, if this is his will for me to be in this condition, then bless the Lord, oh my soul. Every time I got off the phone, every time saying, "Amen." I was calling to try to encourage you. And every time I got off the phone feeling so encouraged. If you want to be encouraged, call a brother or a sister going through a trial. I'm serious. If you could use a little encouragement, call a brother or a sister going through a trial, and they will preach to you. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. That's what God satisfies the mouth of His people with. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Verse 6, "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." David said, "Soul, remember this. The Lord has earned a righteousness for you. He's earned a perfection for you before God and before the law. And He's given that righteousness to you. Soul, remember this. Christ is your end of the law for righteousness." Verse 7 says, "He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel." What were those ways? What are His acts? Verse 8 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." Isn't that wonderful? Turn quickly with me over to Lamentations 3. I don't ever get tired of reading this. Just after Jeremiah, Lamentations 3. Verse 21, Lamentations 3:21, it says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul." Is that what our soul says? I may not have anything else in this life, but if I have Him, I have all I need. That's all I need. The Lord is my portion. David said, "Soul, the Lord has had mercy on you. He's not given you what you deserved," which was that wrath and that punishment that He gave to Christ. "And He has given you what you didn't deserve." He's been gracious to you. given you salvation, eternal life. And he said, soul, God has dealt patiently with you, and he always will. He always will. Great is his mercy, and great is his faithfulness. Back in Psalm 103, verse 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. What reason we have to bless the Lord. What reason we have. With all that is within us, he gives us reason after reason after reason. And this reason right here, to me, this is so sweet. This is as sweet a reason as we could possibly have to bless the Lord. Verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. That word pitieth means to love. It means to love deeply. David said, so in the blood of Christ, that's what the Lord feels for you. Like as a father loves his children, so the Lord loves them that fear him deeply. He loves them deeply. Pity means to be compassionate. It means to have tender affection. Verse 14 says, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. I pray the Lord will let me remember that concerning myself. And I pray the Lord will let you remember that concerning myself. I'm dust. I'm sorry. That's all I am. Be merciful to me. I'm just dust. Be gracious to me. Be compassionate toward me. Forgive me. I'm just dust. That's all I am. Thank God he knows our frame. He remembers, he pities, he loves, he forgives. Verse 15 says, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. David said, so life on this earth is a vapor. Here one minute, gone the next. But he said, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, to all those who remember his commandments to do them. What are his commandments to us? What are his commandments to his people? Bow the knee to Christ. Hear him. Kiss the feet of the Son of God. Believe on him. Follow him. Look to him. Trust him. Stop working and rest in him. Verse 19 says, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. That deserves a message all by itself. If anybody's looking for a message, verse 19 says, the Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. I like that. I really do. How do we respond to that? Verse 20. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word, Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We're about to close this service by singing, Bless the Lord, and sing his praises. Bless the Lord now, O my soul. And what I want to point out is, somebody somewhere is having the privilege of blessing the Lord in their soul today. Somebody is. God is blessing somebody with that privilege. Even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Let me bless you too. I'm serious. Lord, let me bless you. Let me sing praises. The song we're about to sing says, Join the song all heaven raises. All heaven is singing this song. Can you imagine heaven singing this song? Let the anthem loudly roll. Bless the Lord for love victorious, love that conquered on the tree. For his grace so great and glorious flowing out from Calvary. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We have so much reason to bless the Lord, don't we? All right, let's all sing this together. Stand with me.